your favorite podcaster. Here with me today, and we're recording another episode on the channel as well. I've been busy, to be honest with you, for the past few days, recording episodes nonstop. So I've been also busy with episode editing, post-editing, and deleting and not deleting. You know, it just gets confusing sometimes when you've got a lot of things on the go. So today, in this conversation, we thought, why don't we, and we talk about a few things related to the city of Mississauga. And for that, I have the honor and a distinct pleasure to have with me Councillor Deepika Damerla. And Councillor Damerla, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it. Thanks for your time. And I hope I'm not taking you away from too many good things this evening, but it's a good conversation to see you as well. So.
It's a good thing to be talking with you.
Absolutely. So what we wanted to cover, a topic that is being on the mind of many, and not necessarily just in the city of Mississauga. I think this topic is impacting many people around the country and a variety in various cities. And the topic is about raising the flag of other countries in the city center or in the city hall or in the country in general. But let's be specific and talk about it from the city perspective this evening and see where do we stand on in terms of, you know, as a municipality and two, as a society, et cetera. On the whole topic, Councillor Deepika, what do you think we are now? Like, what's your opinion?
So, I mean, right now, I think it's pretty commonplace in at least the larger municipalities to raise the flags of many different countries. And I think the thinking is that it's one way to celebrate our diversity. So you will find in our own city, the city of Mississauga, for example, actually has something called a community recognition program. And what that program is that any group can sort of come forward and say, we'd like the flag of X, Y, or Z country to be flown at City Hall for one day. And, there's some process and to be approved, and then the flag goes up, right? And so that's what we have right now.
But maybe the missing point is the point that you just made. It's a process. It's open for everybody. It is not exclusive to one country versus another country. And anybody perhaps who represented in the community can go through the process. Am I getting this right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know all of the rules, Robin, but typically, yes. Community groups come forward and they say we'd like to raise the flag of our home country, wherever they've come from. And personally, I don't support it. I don't think we should be raising the flags of different countries at City Hall. And the reason...
Because then you're running the question, I'm assuming, where does it end?
It's a few different things. The first thing is that, you know, some issues, sometimes, as a city councillor, my job is not to poke my nose into and referee geopolitics and international conflicts. That's not what I was elected for. That's the job of the federal government. My job is to make sure the buses run on time, your snow is cleared, your taxes are low, and our community
services are provided. Yeah.
So that's my job, and I should be focused on that and not get distracted. That's job number one. The second is, you know, as councillors, we are not truly equipped to sort of say, okay, this flag can go up, then this flag shouldn't go up. I mean, that's not our job, and we shouldn't be getting into it. And yes, so you could say that, you know, a number of countries, it's very easy, so, you know, whatever, you know, but it can get really, it can become divisive, right? So, and the whole point is to, the irony is, I think, that all of this flag raising started as a way to celebrate our diversity. But I think instead of, not often, but at least sometimes it can become divisive. I think, you know, most people that I speak to, Robin, agree with me. They're like, there's no need to raise the flags of other international countries. Now it's different. You know, the prime minister of Y country is visiting City Hall. Hey, by all means, you know, that's a huge honor, and a dignitary from a different country is visiting City Hall, and, you know, we want to show them our way of welcoming, we can have that flag. But other than that, I think we should just, my personal opinion would be to have local flag.
And, you know, you bring a very good point, which you and I pretty much covered in the last conversation that we've had, right? It's called focus on what we're good at.
Yes.
And, you know, focus on what we're good at, meaning that, and I do agree with you, you know, or geopolitics and international policies are not the, you know, city, municipality. And I'm thinking of Mississauga as like the third largest country, city in the country. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's the third. Yeah. But you look at other cities that they're much smaller, and they're like in the 20, 18,000 people, and they're still dealing with that. Even it's significant for Mississauga, but other also it's make it more significant, like for the smaller cities and municipalities around the country. So it is not a Mississauga only issue. Well, now we're talking about it from a Mississauga point of view, but it's, you know, I've heard it in Toronto. I've heard it everywhere. What was initially thought of as a kind gesture by the municipalities has turned into proving points and getting involved into some animosity stuff. It went from being kind to not being so kind.
Yeah, and I think it's not our lane. We are getting distracted by these issues. That's not what we were elected for. That's not what city council is for, to be debating these issues. And why would we do these things that are divisive? And how many countries fly the flag of Canada, you think?
I mean, I've seen, like, I'm from the language industry, right? So I've seen RFPs coming, you know, requests for proposal for language support coming out of some municipalities in the country that has 125, 128 languages in them. So, you know, you've got almost half of the year. If you fly 2 days a year for each country, you probably need to do that if you want to go down that road and treat everybody equally. But I think we have bigger problem to solve. And one of them we talked about last time, right? So fiscally responsible, taking care of the taxpayers' dollars, et cetera. I think it causes distraction. I can't imagine, you know, being at a city council and you guys are talking about this one for 45 minutes or an hour. I don't know how long, 15 minutes even. It takes away from the other topics.
It does. And there's related issues. So to me, the one issue is flying the flags of international countries at City Hall, which I don't think is a good idea. The other thing is also there will be from time to time motions asking to pass judgment on the behavior of other countries. And again, like we're sort of getting into, you know, sometimes maybe it's very clear cut that, you know, somebody is a very bad actor. Sometimes we don't know the full story. Sometimes there's gray areas. And we as councillors are not equipped to sort of go into the minutiae of who did what and, you know.
Are you going to go dig up 10,000-year-old history?
You know, and more importantly, like, and, you know, to me, there's part of it that feels almost colonial. Like sort of we're sitting here and we are faultless and now we are sort of saying they did that bad and they did that bad. And I think there's that as well. So I just feel like leave all of that to the federal government. That's what they're elected.
Look, I mean, there are other points too. Like, you know me, I'm from Lebanon originally. I've been here in the country for, I don't know how many decades now. I forgot. I came here as a young man. And I tell you, I came to Canada to become Canadian. I would care less if the Lebanese flag is flying on the municipalities. Not because I ignore my heritage and I'm not Lebanese anymore. It's got nothing to do with that. I came to Canada to become Canadian. Proving a point in the municipality of Mississauga, it's not my job. And I'm not going to request it, to be honest with you. First, I want to make sure that as a taxpayer, my services are being delivered the way, you know, the society or the municipality have agreed to do and do it efficiently. But as a Canadian, as Lebanese Canadian, I'm foremost right now Canadian more than I am Lebanese. And one thing I would like to add to that is that when we decided as a family of seven, when we immigrated to this country, we immigrated to this country on one point. We want to forget everything that will happen behind us and we want to adopt a brand new life. Forget, meaning erase. Mm-hmm. Because we went through a civil war, we went through a bunch of things and we just didn't want to remember anything. You know, if I want to remember all that stuff, why am I here? Mm-hmm. That's my point. I mean, asking the question all the time to me and my father's still alive. God bless him. He's 86 years old this year. And we keep saying the same thing. Like if we want to, all that minutia of bad stuff, we wouldn't be here.
And you know what? You raise an interesting issue. And I have a slightly different issue on that in that sense that everybody comes to this country for different reasons. And sometimes, as you said, you come to this country to escape something terrible happening in wherever you were born. And so that's not something that you...
No, just my specific situation. Everybody comes with their own baggage.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are others who come with a different perspective, and certainly they want to continue to lean into their background. And we are a mosaic. I have no problem with that.
No, it's no problem.
All I'm saying is at City Hall, there's many ways to celebrate our diversity. We don't need to raise international flags to celebrate our diversity. I think we can be
diverse. Are we doing a good job communicating that to the public, though, Counselor? It feels to me like once one city opens the door, all the cities now are subject to this. Why don't we just start by saying, okay, you want the flag raised? Go talk to the federal government. Why are you talking to us?
Because, yeah, no, that's a really good point. Like, go to Parliament Hill and then you can talk to...
Go take it up with Ottawa. Like, what am I going to do with it?
Yeah, right. That's a really good point, Robin. That's a really good point. And so we'll see, you know, for example, the city of Mississauga, there's a genocide motion coming to council tomorrow. And you know what? It gets tricky because the point isn't that it's not that I don't recognize the tragedy of a genocide. Mine is more of a principle thing. This is not the forum to be discussing these issues, right? That doesn't diminish that tragedy.
No, it doesn't really. I mean, how does that, like, we gotta have a paper in our hand, go wave it around?
Maybe in this particular case, I know my history and I can support this. In other places, I'm not a historian. My job is not to be a world history expert. There's going to be other, if we pass one, then they'll quite rightly so, there could be requests for others where maybe things are more nuanced. And then what, is that my job now to referee geopolitics? No, so let's not do it. And let's find other ways to celebrate our unity as well, right? So we can
absolutely
do a mosaic, but that a mosaic does not necessarily mean you have to fly international flags, right? So
no, tell me, what's the mood? I mean, I, you know, you don't support the motion. I get that now, but what's the mood around city council? Like, what are the other councillors are pro and cons?
I've not really had much of an opportunity to talk about this with my colleagues, and I'd be quite interested to know. I would say that there's at least one or two more counselors who kind of feel somewhat like me, but you know, it's not something we've really talked about. It is something that I think I would like to sort of revisit at council and propose a ban and see how it goes. You know, it's if my fellow counselors are persuaded, that's great. If they're not, it's a democracy, and we'll abide by the rules. But it's a discussion that's worth having.
As a citizen of the you know, great city of Mississauga, as they say, you know, I'd rather the city municipality focuses on how can we save tax dollars for the citizens. How can we do better for the citizens of Mississauga, attract and create better life for everybody?
Yeah.
And I don't. You know, maybe there is a social aspect of us as benevolent society kind of thing to do good for others, and I'm sure the municipality does plenty of that for many categories of, you know, I would say the population, the homeless, the low income, the people that they're seeking housing, the new immigrants, the migrants, that the asylum seekers are coming to. We have many of those, I don't want to say problems, but I think they become a problem if they didn't get dealt with, right? So I'm assuming there are bigger fish to fry for us. That's all I'm saying.
100%. And sometimes I think, you know what, Robin, what I think is that because it's harder to reduce taxes, because these are the hard things, it's easy to try and distract and to win people over by emotion, right? So I may not be able to...
Oh, so then it becomes a political agenda.
Find your flags, so vote for me. That's how I feel sometimes it is. Like, it becomes like super political. Look, I care for you. And it's so easy. You just have to raise a flag. And then, but I think people are smarter than that. I think people expect more than that. I think people are on to politicians. I think they're saying to, you know, don't think that just by flying that flag, you know, you can think that you've served me and my community. They want results. They want those lower taxes. And that's what I'm focused on. Not flying flags. Can we find savings and reduce your property taxes? Can we be more transparent? Can we admit that sometimes when City Hall makes a mistake, the public knows, so that you have trust in us, transparency? Those are things that excite me.
You know, bringing in an interesting angle to this, including the flag raising and the signing of a document of particular cause, etc. You know, that whole voting block, I guess, that you're trying to accommodate for, it becomes more of a I did something well for your community, so I can count on your vote next election. Kind of a discussion here. I hope maybe there's some of that. I have no idea, but you're right. I gotta trust that the general public is smarter than that. And let me tell you one thing: everybody I talk to, they generally vote with a pocketbook.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
When they see their taxes going up, I don't think anybody's happy. Who is happy with their taxes going up? I have not met anybody. Even the rich of the rich, they don't just jump up and down and click up their heels because their taxes went up.
Hey, the rich are rich because they've learned to save their money.
There you go. They have better accountants.
Absolutely. The rich, I mean, I always remember the rich are rich because they're careful with their money.
Absolutely. So what else is going on at City Hall that we can cover in this lovely evening together? I'm gonna call it the Council of Topeka update from here on. That's it. You're on the podcast every 2 weeks.
100%. Yeah, you know, some very interesting things. You may recall that a few weeks ago, again, City Hall was there was a proposal to change the name Duke of York, right?
So
the
Duke of York
is a street in Mississauga. It's near City Hall.
Yep.
And there was this proposal to rename it. Again, you know, like we've got bigger fish to fry. And of course, the connection was with the former Duke of York. He doesn't carry that title anymore. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, I think, is his new name. And his connection with, the Epstein files and all of that. So very legitimate, you know. Yeah, you know, what he is alleged to have done is terrible. And a woman took her life in, you know, who I guess he had some connection with and all of that. Completely agree. But is the best way to spend, like, you know, if we had changed that Duke of York, it would have impacted 1,400 residents in my ward. 1,400 people would have had to change their driver's license, their land titles, their leases, their health card, you know, anything that has an address they would have had to change. That would cost them money. Would cost the city money to change signage. I believe the total cost was, up to $750,000. Does that make sense? Luckily, common sense prevailed, and the majority said, no, we're not, majority of councilors said, no, this is not a good use of money and time. But again, an example of, you know, we spend so much time with what I call this symbolic performative things. And yeah, it's fun. Council is fun.
So for those, since I got you and I still have a few minutes here to go on the podcast here, for those who don't know how this City Hall function, do you have like a regular hour? Is the councilors obligated to go to City Council every day, like 9 to 5? Or do they have a set hours? Or
no, ever since COVID, I think City Hall does, councilors sort of seem to operate on bit of a hybrid model. So they come in some days a week for sure. And every counselor is different and it seems to be working out well. But I think I would say that almost all of the counselors are very accessible to their residents. You know, if you email us and say, hey, I want to meet with you or I want a phone call, for example, I'm always willing to meet with my residents or phone call. And Zoom makes it really easy. Like, you know, I can talk to them, see them. Sometimes I'll make site visits if, you know, people complain about things. Let me go look at it myself. So I will do that. I enjoy doing that as well.
So how long have you been a counselor now, Deepika?
So this is my 7th year. So time flies. I became a counselor in 2018. For listeners, I want to say that City Council does a lot of things that impact your life. And we do it quite fast because we meet every week, every Wednesday. And every Wednesday there's motions like this, you know, something or the other to try and improve the city. Like last week, we had a very good discussion on e-scooters. Now there are some e-scooters and e-bikes, and there are some councillors who are of the mind that we should completely ban them, right? And then there's some councillors who are of the mind that we shouldn't ban them, but certainly we need to find a way to make them safer and regulate them. Very interesting discussion, right? And so I think it's really important for people who can to tune in. I've always felt that I wish council was in the evenings so that people could actually tune in. And some cities do have their council in the evening, especially smaller municipalities where their councillors are also part-time. But larger municipalities typically have them during the day. But that was a very valid discussion, and I can see both sides. Now, I personally don't think banning things work. I'm always more in favor of regulating. And I was reading this really interesting article, Robin. When the bicycle first came out, hell broke. People wanted to ban it. They thought it was the worst thing. It's causing all these deaths. People are falling. People are cracking their skulls, right? Today, we like worship the bicycle, you know? Like,
and we have bike lanes that we don't use. Council. We have bike lanes that we don't use.
Bike lanes, more bikes, more bikes. And I feel it's the same thing with e-bikes and e-scooters. That first instinct, it's new. And of course, it's, yeah, people are using it terribly. People are using it without helmets. But it's the same thing. What if they'd banned the bicycle 150 or 200 years ago, right? So I think we have to embrace change. So I'm more in like, let's not ban. Can we find a way to make this work? So, but
make it work. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I've seen a lot of maybe another topic for interesting for the audience. Not that I'm involved in it, but I've seen signs like up the street from the city. Those are municipal board. I guess you guys have some publicity signs that's put some news from the city or some announcements, I guess, put them on the roads. And one of them, it says just not far away from me, next to the school here, Tree School. I don't know if you know the area up on the 10th line. And so it says, you know, for those who are renting their homes short-term rental, I think that's Airbnb stuff. I have no idea what that short-term rental means. It says no license, no, what is it? No license, no rental or something like this. No listing. Tell us about that one. You're more familiar probably.
So the city has some rules for Airbnb. And the two key rules are that you cannot rent out a house as an Airbnb for more than 6 months in a year. That's rule one. And rule two, you can only turn a house into an Airbnb if you live in that house. Okay. So what we don't want is somebody taking an investment property and turning it into a little hotel and doing it year round. Because if everybody starts to do that, the neighborhood's shot, right? Like people don't like so many strangers coming and going. So the guardrail is if you're living in that house yourself, and you have Airbnb people, obviously you don't want them partying till 1 a.m. because it's going to ruin your sleep. So just having the owner there acts as a check and balance that in a residential neighborhood, the people who are using an Airbnb are not using it like a hotel or a club and partying till 2 a.m. and random people coming and going. And then you also say that if you're living in your own home, you probably don't want to be renting it out 365 days a year. So it's a 6 month cap. So people need to understand that those are the two main rules. And the way the city enforces those rules is that if you want to run an Airbnb, you have to come to the city, prove that the property is your principal residence, and get a license. So that's
get a license. But a lot of how does the licensing work, counselor?
So essentially, you come to the city and you say, this is, you know, it's a very straightforward process. You come to the city and say, I live here and I want to start, you know, renting it out as an Airbnb. The city tells you here are the rules, and then that's it.
And do we distinguish between a house and an apartment?
No, same rules.
The condo, standalone home, townhomes, same idea.
Yeah. So we're really trying to get people.
Has this been in place for a while? Because I've never heard of that.
It's been in place for a while. Yeah.
So you're just reminding people then?
Just reminding. Probably year end, yeah.
Just refresher, you know, if you're renting your house for Airbnb, you got to get a license.
You do have to get a license, yes.
Absolutely. So I want to take the opportunity, maybe we won't have a chance to do another podcast before year end. I wish we could, but I want to wish you and your family a beautiful holidays. Enjoy it. You deserved it. You work hard. And I really appreciate the conversations we've had. I've only known you for a short time, but I feel like I've known you for years. You come across as a person that you can connect with right away. So I think that's what the magnetism here in this conversation. So I really like it. I really like talking to you. I enjoy the conversations. And I want to wish you the best for you and your family in the new year as well.
Thank you so much, Robin. And I wish you a very Merry Christmas. In fact, my plan is, if I can persuade my partner, Andrew, is to now, after this, to drive by a house and see the amazing lighting that you have.
Absolutely.
I'm curious. I don't know your podcast listeners, if there's a way to do a poll, but I'd be very interested to hear their feedback on should the city of Mississauga or any municipality raise international flags or they should not.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I mean, maybe we can ask the, you know, through this podcast, ask some people to comment.
Yeah.
Just to get their opinion. Yeah. And if you have any specific opinion, you probably can reach out to councillor directly at the City of Mississauga. Easy to find. You can go to the Mississauga website, the City of Mississauga website. You can find councillor Deepika de Merla. And her email is there. Her phone number is there. The address for the city is there. It's easy to reach. You can forward your opinion to her, or you can drop your comments in the social posts that we put resulting of this podcast, either on YouTube or on the audio podcast. And by the way, the last podcast we did for the past 28 days has been ranking the highest. So I'm very, very happy about that one. And, you know, I'm averaging downloads, almost 1,200 downloads per day, but I have almost 140 episodes now on the podcast. So it's going very well, but yours, it's been the hottest now for the past 28 days, the past episode that we did together has been doing well.
In the new year, for sure, Robin. I look forward to that.
Absolutely. Well, let's keep in touch. Enjoy everything this holiday season. I hope to see you in our house on 10th Line and enjoy the lights together. Maybe we'll invite you over if you have time and have a glass of wine together.
To that coffee party so I can meet people and we can talk about transparency. And
absolutely. I don't know if I told you, but did Kim tell you about this event on the 11th, this Thursday? Yeah, so she's coming, and there are a few people coming. I'm not sure if you want to be in into that. It's up to you. It's happening next to the airport there.
Okay. The 11th is Friday?
Thursday.
Okay, I don't know what I'm
6:30.
Doing. Yeah, but text me, and I'll try and make it.
Yeah, I'll text you the details. Right. No obligation. I just thought to mention.
Thank you for thinking. All right.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I want to thank you so much. Don't go away. Stay around. I want to thank you very much for your time this evening. I want to thank the audience for listening in on this local episode, the City of Mississauga discussion episode with Councillor Deepika de Merla. And I wish you all a great evening, and I'll see you at the next episode. Thank you very much. That's it.